You're now listening to The Brian Callen Show with your host, Brian Callen.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Brian Callen Show, and my guest is Joe Cross. Who is that? A filmmaker, an author, wrote a book. It started with, I believe, a movie called Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead, which you can get on Amazon or you can download. And
Netflix, Hulu, all those places, Brian.
All that stuff. And you basically were fat, sick, and nearly dead and decided to juice for 60 days. You've now got another book out you're touring with called Reboot. Talk about what turned you into such a juice fanatic. Why does it work? How did this all happen, man?
Well, Brian, great to be on the show, mate. Thanks for having me. Here's basically what happened, is I had turned my back on Mother Nature. I wasn't bad till I was like 20, you know, living at home and eating mum's cooking and all that sort of stuff. I was pretty balanced. I was an athlete.
Right.
And of course, everything went to, you know, not good. Probably the word I'll use on the radio. everything went to not good.
You can swear on this. You can swear on this show. Don't worry, man. This is
okay,
a podcast. Well, you're good.
Everything went to shit, basically, when I left home.
Right.
And I ended up, you know, turning my back on Mother Nature and eating basically a diet of just high in processed food and animal products. And that led to me getting up to the age of 40 years of age and being 325 pounds, being loaded up on medication for debilitating autoimmune disease. I was, you know, pre-diabetic, high cholesterol, high blood pressure. I was essentially, you know,
did your doctors ever say to you, did your doctors ever once say to you, hey, Joe, maybe you should change your diet? Did they ever say that, or was it just,
Of course. You know, I mean, here's the thing. I travel around the world now talking about this, and there's not a single person I've ever met, Brian, that doesn't know that fruits and vegetables are good for them.
Right.
Okay, everybody knows it. It's not the knowing, it's the doing.
Exactly.
And, of course, as you and I both know, we're sick and tired of being told what to do by people. We don't want to be told.
That's right.
We want to work things out for ourselves. And so I guess that for me, I got to a point where I was desperate. I was at rock bottom. You know, I figured when I looked in the mirror when I turned 40, this was not in the brochure of the life that I wanted to lead. You know, this was, you know, where did this come in to play, being like this and being sick? And I sort of used my I like to call it my time machine, which I'd sort of had flipped back 20 years and I wasn't like this. I went forward 20 years, Brian. And what I saw made it 60 wasn't pretty. I couldn't even confirm that I'd been around.
Right.
So I just thought, you know, what's made us the most successful species on this planet? Why are we top of the game playing here? You know what, you know?
Right.
What have we done? What have we eaten mostly in our existence on planet Earth? And the smartest people I could speak to said to me it was fruits, vegetables, nuts, beans and seeds, food made by Mother Nature. And I had completely turned my back on this one source of nutrition, one source of energy, information, whatever you want to call it, but I turned my back on it. And I was kind of cheating with a pretty young thing around the corner called processed food.
Right.
And I figured, you know what? I got to break up with her because she's not doing me any good. I got to go back to, I got to go back to plants. So I went and knocked on the door.
Right.
And Mother Nature's very forgiving, Brian. Very forgiving.
Right.
Far more forgiving than most. But she wants to see action. You know, talk's cheap. Words are cheap.
Yep.
So I had to do the doing, and the doing was I made a commitment that I would eat only fruits, vegetables, nuts, beans, and seeds for a long period. I remember making the commitment for 2 years, and I figured that if after 2 years I was still sick, then so be it. But I would give it a shot for 2 years. I kind of done 20 years of damage, and I thought 10% of the time, if you're kind of like, you know, you've done the crime, now you got to do the time.
Yep.
And to supercharge my journey, to kick me off, like, on this two-year stretch, I thought, what if I did 60 days of just drinking the water that's been filtered through the plants? In other words, getting straight to where the sunlight is harnessed, mm-hmm. where it's captured. And in other words, free-based Mother Nature. And that's what I did. And it ended up taking me 60 days of juice and 90 days afterwards of eating just plants and, of course, still drinking juice, but eating a lot of plants to drop 100 pounds and to get off all medication. And that was 6 years ago, and I've never looked back.
That's amazing because, you know, I was just in Disneyland with my daughter. It's very hard not to walk around with your jaw on the floor. I was literally like, what are you people doing? The way we eat in this country, and I'm talking about the United States, it's just insanity, man. You know, I travel a lot doing stand-up, and you're literally like, everybody around me looks like warm cheese. They look like warm cheese, man. Like, how do you even, you've got 40-year-olds limping, you know, with canes and stuff because processed foods, and I don't think even, by the way, personally, I don't even think meat's the enemy. I think if you eat meat with fruits and vegetables, you can be very healthy personally. But
absolutely.
But for the most part, there's a huge industry. I feel like there's a huge industry, which is the fast food industry, processed food industry, industry that's way less interested in your health or even in food, and way more in getting into your pocket and getting you to spend money on foods that they can package, make look pretty, make taste really good. That's actually really bad for you, right?
Yeah, and while I, you know, I agree with the theme of what you're talking about, I kind of like to take a little bit of a different approach as opposed to looking for an enemy and going out and blaming somebody else.
Right.
I kind of like to take an approach where, you know, at the end of the day, America is a great country. Now, I'm not born here.
I agree with you.
A lot of time in your country. It's a fabulous country. And you know the thing about America is that coming from outside, Americans are incredibly friendly people. They really are. I mean, it might be different if you're an American, but when you're from another country, incredibly friendly.
Yeah, I agree. I think we all come from the same. Nobody's trying to be better than anybody else. It's sort of like we're all immigrants at one point or another. So it's like, hey, we're all here together. Yeah,
sure. But the rules you play by is you play by this capitalistic game of supply and demand. That's the game you play here.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about satisfying what the customer wants.
You're right. Consumers. Yeah. If the demand is there, it's going to be provided. You're right.
Correct. So here's my game plan is how do we alter consciousness in a way where we're not telling people what to do? We're showing them. We're inspiring. We're educating and entertaining. Because entertainment is above all the key.
It's the old saying. The way you beat a bad idea is with a better idea. You don't make a bad guy out of Kraft and Nestle because they're just providing what they're doing is providing a product for people and in many ways a very tasty one. You've got to get people to understand why something is not as good for you as this over here, right?
Exactly. It's up to us as the demand to vote certain products off the shelf. And the only way we vote them off is with our hard-earned cash. So I don't look at the processed food industry as the enemy. What I look at as the enemy is our own choice to not put plant food into our bodies. Because actually you can, as you pointed out earlier, Ron, you can all three food categories, plants, animals, and processed, can live together in harmony within a human body and be healthy.
Yep.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with going to Macca's on a weekend every now and then, or having some ice cream, or doing the chocolate. Nothing wrong with that at all. In fact, I encourage people, if they really excite them and they enjoy it, knock yourself out. Like if I was going to a ball game with you on the weekend, and I knew I was going to the ball game, and I knew that we were going to have some hot dogs, and I don't drink beer, but maybe a soda or something, then that morning, I'm going to make sure I get my green juice. I'm going to make sure I have a fruit salad. I'm going to make sure that lunchtime, I'm having plenty of nuts, beans, and seeds with my healthy salad. And then in the evening, when I'm at the ball game, I can enjoy the hot dog. You see what I mean?
Yeah, you're earning your cheat day.
Correct. Yeah. So the thing that I notice around America right now is I don't see any fat people anymore. I don't see them. Haven't seen a fat person in 6 years. You know what I see?
What?
I see a lot of people carrying a lot of extra energy around.
Oh, that's a great way to look at it, man.
My question is, what are you hanging on to that energy for? Is there a famine coming to LA or New York or Houston? I mean, I didn't get the email or the tweet, or I didn't see the bulletin where there's a famine coming, because at the end of the day, what was I doing on my 40th birthday at 325 pounds standing in front of the mirror in my birthday suit? What was going on there, apart from that terrible image I've now just put in your brain? What was really going on there was my body was saying, Joe, don't worry, when that salmon hits Sydney, Australia, you're going to be the last man standing.
You're ready for the zombie apocalypse, baby.
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah. We need to start looking at our bodies in a way where we are not fat, we are not ugly, we are full of energy waiting to be used up. And there's only two ways to use that energy up. Run a marathon every day for the next 10 years, or create a nutritional famine. Create a period like our ancestors used to go through, where we would go through times of famine and feast, famine and feast. Unfortunately, we have set up a world today whereby there's a feast on every corner. If you really think about history, about what's made us the most successful species on
our planet. It's scarcity, yeah.
Yeah. You know what we did? You know what we did really well, Brian, for thousands and thousands and thousands. You know what we did really well?
What, hunt?
What we did really well was use the least amount of energy to get the most amount of energy into our bodies.
Okay.
We did that really well. In the last 50, 60 years, we have flipped that so much in our favor that now you can sit at home on a weekend, press your phone, pull out your iPhone or your smartphone, press a button, and 10,000 calories will appear at the door while you're watching the game, and you've spent the least amount of energy to get the most amount on. So, but we criticize ourselves for doing something that our ancestors did well. And so what we've got to do is we've got to be conscious now that we live in a world whereby when you actually go out to hunt, when you go out to gather, we have to now, for the first time in the history of humanity, we need to break the order into two. Whereas before it was hunger and all you could eat was fruits, vegetables, nuts, beans and seeds and some animal. Now we need to say, all right, I know I can eat that food, which is processed food. I know I can eat animal. I now need to make a conscious effort to get plants in. And if we can get ourselves into a habit where we're doing that on a daily basis, then we're going to go a long way to solving this problem.
Well, let's talk about the psychology of what happens when somebody is quote unquote fat, but you would say has too much energy. Talk about the psychology of how you get there. Then talk about how one gets out of that. And then finally, let's talk about why plants and vegetables. What led you to that? Where did you read that? Where did you come up with the idea, I'm going to just juice? So let's just talk a little bit about where you were, what your mindset was, because I always find, and you're right, people know the difference. It's just taking action. These people, I feel like, are depressed, or there's something about the psychology of being way bigger than you need to be. And it's almost like, well, my house is so dirty, why clean it? It doesn't matter anyway.
There's a lot of people out there and there's a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. There's many different reasons. In fact, you know, you could probably speak for 20 or 30 hours on all the different problems. And we still need more to list.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's cultural, whether it's financial, whether it's time poor, whether it's emotional, whether it's simply just that loss of love affair with yourself and you don't love yourself anymore. I kind of think that every person is different. I can speak only as an authority about myself. And I had this relationship. I was bullied at school. I was, you know, always, we call it picked on in Australia, where you're getting, you know, all it's like 20.
Yeah, we call it picked on here too. Yeah, you don't have a monopoly on the English language.
Okay,
keep going.
We'll share that one with you. Anyway, I would go to little lunch or big lunch or after school. And you know what? I didn't have any friends. I was on my own.
Right.
So have a guess who my best friend was.
Food.
My best friend was sugar.
Yeah.
Sugar wouldn't let me down. Sugar was there to pick me up and make me feel good. So nowadays, even today at 47 years of age, when I'm under stress, you know, whether it's an emotional, you know, whether it's a girlfriend stress, whether it's a financial stress, a family stress, a career stress, whatever it is, you know who I turn to? I turn to sugar.
Yeah.
Because that's my go-to. So now it's about me being aware of that trigger. It's aware of that connection.
Right.
So I find that many people have this internal trigger where food is an emotional release or a trigger. So I think that's a big factor. Mm. I also think that a lot of people out there have a relationship with food that's unhealthy. And what I mean by that is they think food is either good for them or bad for them. And so if you're having something that's bad for you, you immediately have guilt because you're having it, therefore you eat more of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this idea of us putting food up and saying, oh, is this good for me or bad for me? I don't like that. I like the idea of saying, what I know is there's three things I can eat. I can eat plants, I can eat animals, or I can eat processed food. What I'm going to try and do is start my day out where I'm going to get as many plants on as possible for my breakfast or for my morning tea or my lunch. And then the evening time, I'm going to enjoy my meal. I'm not going to have any guilt because I've earned it. I think that psychology is important. I think eating alone is dangerous. The more people eat alone, the more you're unaccountable and it's more expensive. If you can eat more in groups with people and in situations where you share, it can be cheaper and you can also end up having a healthier option.
Well, you know, that's interesting because most cultures always demand that, you know, families eat together when you have your lunch, when you have dinner. It's always been, you know, people have always eaten around the campfire. You were always eating with groups, and eating alone is pretty unnatural, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you now, back in my day, I would go on a date and I would sit there and order a salad and some soup. And then I'd come home from the date when I'm on my own because I, you know, crashed and burned, and I'd order two pizzas.
Wow.
Because I didn't want people seeing me in public eating the way I ate. I mean, I would pull up to the drive-thru of the burger place and I'd order the three or four burgers. And then, you know, they obviously thought I'm ordering for a family. I'd drive around the corner and eat them. And I think there's a lot of people that have this situation where they don't even realize the mindless eating that they're actually doing. They're doing it without even realizing.
You see it all the time. You see it all the time. I notice that when you see very obese people, you never actually see them eating in public. They'll never really have anything to eat, and you know they're eating at home.
Yeah. So, and here's the other thing which I think is important, is that in America, it's not just about being big. The actual healthy life expectancy of someone in the U.S. now is 65 if you're a male and about 67 if you're a female. That's the healthy life expectancy. Now, remember, only a third of the country is obese. That's still two-thirds that are either overweight or healthy weight that are still sick.
Yep.
So this misnomer that people who are thin are healthy and people who are big are unhealthy, that's a load of rubbish. I meet tremendous amount of people out in my travels that are lean, that you take one look at them, you think, oh, that person must take care of themselves. And they come up to me and they confide in me about their irritable bowel syndrome, their Crohn's disease, their migraines, their problems, their skin problems. So we have this epidemic of nutritional ignorance out there when it comes to disease.
Yeah.
We have never before been this big, this sick, and this tired in the history of humanity. And to me, I know there's lots of reasons why, but I believe that the solution is, in the foundation of this solution, is you've got to look at the three things that we put into our body to stay alive, Ryan. And what are the three things we put in? Air, water, and food.
Right.
Well, guess what? You and I are breathing the same air. Guess what? Water, two hydrogen atoms, and an oxygen atom makes that beautiful molecule of H2O. I know they package it and sell it differently, but water is water.
Yep.
It's the food category where we all have a choice. And so it's the food area that I believe we need to bring to the forefront in consciousness, and that's the space that I'm focused on, and that's where every day is a new day for me. I'm a hunter-gatherer. I'm trying to work out ways that I can get my plant food into me. This morning, I've already had about 20 fluid ounces of green juice. I've just had a big, big salad here in LA, massive salad with all incredible different colors, greens, purples, reds, yellows, oranges, and I had some grilled chicken on it. And now I've started to transition my day from plants. I've had a bit of animal. I've had nothing processed yet. And tonight, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm actually doing a book signing tonight, so I probably won't eat much tonight. I'll have more juice. And so today will be one of those days I'll go to bed today going, you know what, Chaz? You did a good job today. Now, maybe tomorrow won't be as good, but I won't beat myself up. I live to fight another day.
Now, what about the fact that you've got to be a little bit careful drinking too many, like leafy greens, for example, because plants have natural toxins to keep insects and pests away. So this is sometimes, you know, you want to be careful not to be too much of an extremist, right? So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So extremity is something that I deal with a lot. And You know, the average diet for the average American is 95% of calories is coming from plant food and animal products. It's actually 93 and 7% from plants, but of those 7% plants, 2% is French fries. So wow. Really, we'll just count those in the other category.
So we don't we don't eat a lot of fruits and vegetables. We don't.
No, we're only getting 5%. So I think most average Americans are at an extreme already where they're not getting enough.
Interesting.
Do you know what the average household spends at the supermarket in America on fruits and vegetables per week?
No.
$8.60.
Wow.
Is the bill.
Wow.
So we are talking about a massive extremity right now where people are not getting enough, which is why we have all these diseases that are out there and this huge health problem. So now we know that's the problem. What we've got to do, I believe, is fight fire with fire and be extreme for a short period of time. For me, it took 5 months. That's pretty long because I was pretty extreme in the first place. But maybe for you, it might be 3 weeks. It might be a month for the bloke next year. Who knows? Everyone's different.
You haven't seen me with my shirt off, my friend, but keep going.
You go extreme for a little while.
Yep.
Get back into balance. Now you've got a second chance at life now. You've gone from one extreme to the other, like two kids in a playground. No one gets the swing balance on the first go. They go up and down before they get the balance. That's the laws of nature. We bring it back with an extreme, and then slowly we can work out our own equilibrium. Many people struggle with balance because the people that are instructing them on to go to balance want them to go from an extreme to balance in the very next day.
Not to mention those people a lot of times are not balanced themselves, are they? You know?
Absolutely. And it's very easy for people to give instruction. But look, you make a very good point when we talk about juicing too much. And I'm one of the strongest advocates you'll find for a balanced lifestyle. But for a 5-day, a 10-day, or a 15-day period, Brian, to take yourself back in a time machine, back 10,000 years ago, when we used to have famines on this beautiful planet of ours, to experience what I call human 2.0, to get what it's like to really have your senses alive, your eyesight, your hearing, your smell, your energy levels at full alert, looking for food. That's an incredible experience. And every human.
And when you started juicing, like, what was the first week like for you? And were you juicing?
Well, I felt like a 16-wheeler truck had drove over me and then reversed back up on me. I mean, I thought I was going to die.
Wow.
But that makes sense, right? Because you've got to think, the penalty for not eating is pretty severe.
Yeah.
If it wasn't that severe, you and I wouldn't be here. I mean, you got to think, penalty for not eating, it's a real that's why we eat.
You go into panic. You panic, right? Yeah. I mean, you can start to panic.
Yeah. Well, you can do lots of things. I mean, you can't trust a cop. I'll tell you that when you start juicing. I'll give you a tip because things are coming out of you from everywhere. You don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
So the first week was pretty severe. And I didn't prepare well enough. I now know what to do. I mean, nowadays, if I'm taking someone through it, I'm giving them all the best advice that you've got to slowly bring your processed food down. Make sure you're getting lots of high plant fiber foods in your diet 3 or 4 days out so you can clear the pathway.
Right.
Bring your caffeine down. Bring your sodas down. Try and get yourself into a position where you're going through at least a little bit of this pain of withdrawals while you're eating as opposed to just wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Right.
So I'm much better at it today, but I didn't know anything back then when I started. And look, the movie really chronicles that journey from the beginning to the end. And nowadays, I mean, you know, 12 million people, Brian, have seen this movie, Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead.
It's a great movie. That's why we wanted it on. I mean, I get it. It's inspirational, and you're such a regular guy. That's what I like about you. You know, you're not a fanatic. You're not. I mean, you're this regular guy who basically said, look, I was fat, sick, and nearly dead. And, and you're right. You were totally out of balance. You were a total extremist on the other side. So you kind of had to go to the other side just to bring yourself back to the middle, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I had to do. And the good news is that was 6 years ago. I don't take any meds. I don't get sick. I was 325. I went to 220. I'm now a happy, healthy 240. Now, am I going to get a run on Baywatch tomorrow? No, I'm not. Okay? But that's not my goal.
You're burly. You're a burly man.
My goal is very simple. My goal is to do the things that I want to do in life and have fun. Yesterday, I had a round of golf I played 18 holes. I walked the course. I came off the course feeling great. I don't have sore joints today. Like the old days, I'd be in pain. I wouldn't be happy. Yeah, that's to me. I like being able to go to the gym.
Quality of life.
There, get on the treadmill, have a half an hour, 45 minutes, knock a few Ks out, feel good.
Yep.
That's what life's about.
Quality of life, right? So you're in command of the machine, of this biological machine, your body, basically.
Exactly. And I think while you're talking about that, I think this maybe the listeners might appreciate this analogy, because I can tell you're a lifelike person. You love the analogy. But I say, I used to think like this. I used to think that we are like machines and that the food we put in was like fuel. I met this really smart dude a couple of months ago. He said, you know what, Joe, think about it this way. You're made up of trillions and trillions of cells. You're actually better than any machine. You're this complex organism. Mm. And while you need fuel, I'll accept you need fuel, but that comes in when we're talking about the food side. That comes in the macronutrients of protein, carbohydrate, and fat. And we're getting plenty of that in processed food and animal products. Because we're such a complex organism, what we need is the information that comes in the phytonutrients. So that's like the stuff that's only found in plant food. So think about it this way. When you see a movie and you're like a great film like Gravity, you've got Sandra, you've got George, you've got the actors. They're the stars. The stars are the carbohydrates, the fats, and the proteins. We all know about them. What we don't know about is all of the ancillary cast, the scriptwriter, the lighting, the sound, security, the makeup. They're the micronutrients. And in order for the movie to be a wonderful film, for us to get lost in it and just enjoy it, you need to have both. And too many of us in our diet are only putting the stars in, the protein, the carbohydrate, and the fat, and we're not putting the ensemble cast in, which is the micronutrients, which is not really energy. It's not really going to help you run a marathon by putting special K or vitamin K in or something like a vitamin B or a C. That's the news. That's information that tells our cells what to do. And that's the problem. We're not putting the information in.
That's fascinating. I love the idea of it being information, because the forefront of cancer research they were talking about is the human body is a conduit for information. And one of the things that your body does is it sends a signal for whatever reason to start producing cells you don't need. That is an information from the brain. And the idea is when we learn how that mechanism works and we can reverse engineer the brain, maybe there's a way to actually scramble that code. You know,
Absolutely. So
we're kind of an energy field and one big sort of an organism with information going back and forth all the time. And when you take in a living food like juice, that's got its own information.
Absolutely. And the way I like people to understand about juicing is that there's three ways to get plants into your body. You can eat them, you can blend them, or you can juice them. Now, when you eat a cucumber, what do? You chew up the top, you're chewing. That's the masticating part. That's kind of like the blending.
Yep.
When you swallow it and it goes down to your gut, that's the digestion part. That's the juicing. Mm-hmm. That's where you extract out the nutrients from the cellulose, the structure, the packaging of the cucumber. And what do with the packaging? That goes out the back door. You discard that. What you're actually doing is you're taking the phytonutrients that are trapped, the water, the 95% of what a cucumber is, which is water, that's what you're absorbing into the stomach. So when you juice, you're effectively outsourcing digestion, if you like, to a machine.
Mm.
And I like that.
Yeah.
I think people can understand, wow, this is a great way of supercharging my micronutrient intake. Now, what I don't want people to do is run out and juice 8 oranges or 5 grapefruits, because what you're now doing is you're supercharging too much sugar.
Right.
India system.
And that's why the book's important. That's why I was going to say that you need somebody to teach you how to juice, because a lot of people will juice oranges, pineapples, and cantaloupe, and now you're just spiking your insulin, and you're just overloading yourself with sugar, right?
Now, that's great if you're going to go and run 10 miles. That's
right.
A great drink to have before you run 10 miles, because you're going to need that sugar to help burn as you go. But if you're going to sit at your desk and tap away at the computer and you know, sit back and listen to your show...
Yeah.
While you're watching, while you're kicking back, that's not a good idea.
Right.
So it's very, very important that we get some of the ground rules right and in place. And one of the big ground rules, about 70 to 80% of the volume of our juice, we love that coming from the vegetable world. And the 20 to 30% can come from the fruit world.
Mm. Okay, that's good. That's good to know.
Well, the other thing that people don't know is the juice can last. You know, I can make up juice on a Sunday night.
Right.
And I'll put it in, mason jars, tighten the lid, and that juice is good till Wednesday evening.
I didn't know that. I was always told, for whatever reason, that you want to drink juice immediately or it starts to break down in its nutritional value. And there's no evidence for that, but I just was told that. So that's good
to know. If you leave your glass of juice on the – it's in a glass, and you leave it on the kitchen table in the bright sunlight, within 2 or 3 hours, that's what you just said is absolutely right.
Okay.
Because it's an open invitation to all the microbes to come and have a drink of my juice. Like, come and feed, guys. You're feeding microbes in your kitchen.
Right.
And they are eating all the nutrients because they want that sunshine just like you and I do.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've got to do is we've got to trap it with a jar. We've got to screw the lid on tight. And then we've got to keep it in the refrigerator where we know that microbes, the reason we have fridges, is to slow down the rotting process.
Okay.
So that will give you about 72 hours of the – Now, technically speaking, if we got like a proper microbiologist scientist on board, we would probably see some degradation of 1 or 2%. But we're not talking a massive amount over the time period to say, well, you shouldn't drink it.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Of course it does. And I just, as you're talking, I'm thinking to myself, it'd be great if every family in the country kind of, instead of having coffee and a muffin in the morning, if they had a green juice or just a vegetable juice. You can imagine what that would
change the nation. Here's what anyone out there listening that's a bit skeptical about doing juice only and a famine. Oh, that's too hard, right? I get that. I understand that, right? Take a 30-day challenge. Get a juicer, not a blender. Right? Difference. Get a juicer.
Right.
Take the juice. Get 20 to 25 fluid ounces of juice every morning. Take a 30-day challenge. Drink that, and then eat what you normally eat for your breakfast, lunch, and dinner if you feel like it. You know what happens after 30 days? Most people have lost about 7 or 8 pounds. Why? Because they've put the nutrients in and that information in, their cells don't send the hunger messages like they used to. They're not hungry. So you don't get cravings. And when you've got some support coming from within saying, Joe, you're not hungry, you don't want to eat, you're 3/4 of the way there.
Do you know what happened to me when I started? You know what happened to me when I started juicing, and I don't like using specific examples because it doesn't mean there's any. I don't have any data on this, but what happened to me when I started juicing was that I actually lost my craving for chocolate and coffee. I used to have to drink massive amounts of coffee and chocolate, and when I started juicing, what was amazing to me is not only did I have way more energy. I was doing a lot of jiu-jitsu back then, and I just would never get tired. Because I'd be eating like kind of like sprouted almonds and different kinds of things like that. And I was juicing and I really did. And I really did notice a massive difference. But what was fascinating was I lost my craving for chocolate and coffee, which I never thought was possible.
Well, I get that a lot. I mean, out of the 12 million people that have seen this, at least 10 or 20% have gone out and given it a go. So we're talking millions of people.
That's crazy, by the way. That's crazy.
Your
example has actually gotten 12 million people to watch this.
I thought maybe a couple of thousand people on a mountain who do yoga watch this movie. I never thought it would be like this.
Well, people want to be healthier. I mean, that's people want to feel better. I mean, and if you show them how to do it,
I think you're right. I think you're 100% right here that people are sick and tired of being sick and tired. They're done with it.
Right.
They're over it. And you know, all these diets and all these things out there, you know what? They're unless they are focused on plants, their success rates are not good. Because I could put someone on a burger reboot. You could have one burger a day for the next 30 days. You know what? You'll lose weight.
Yeah.
You will lose weight having one burger a day.
Yep.
But how are you going to feel? Yeah. How excited are you going to be on day 31 to go and have a salad? No.
Yeah.
You're going to feel like crap.
Yeah.
And you're going to want to have 4 burgers.
Right.
And so the whole idea, what we have to do here as a society, as a group, I've got a saying that, you know, people are smart, crowds are dumb.
Yeah.
We've got to rise above this. We have to work out consciousness for ourselves. We've got to work out ways that we can create little rituals in our life, little habits that we can bring in just by, you know what, every morning I'm going to drink 20 fluid ounces of green juice, purple juice, orange juice, red juice, yellow juice, those colors. And I'm going to mix up my colors so that over a period of a week, I'm getting a nice balance of the fruit and vegetable rainbow. And I promise you, mate, this is something that I've seen, Brian, all over the world, the success rate is off the charts. It's off the charts. Absolutely. And I'm not making any money out of this. You understand that, don't you? I'm saying people in Italy, go and buy fruit and veggies from your local farmer and do it yourself on some machine over there that I never heard of.
Right, right.
So this is not about...
Although I will say that the Breville machines are outstanding. I have something that makes my espresso. Breville's a great company. I know that they sponsor you. Now, let me ask you this. Very important. How easy is your juicer to clean? Because that makes all the difference.
Well, cleaning a juicer is it's hard work because it's four or five parts. And they haven't worked out a way to create something that extracts out the water from the plants efficiently that doesn't create some kind of cleaning. But you know what? The good news for me is I only clean my juicer twice a week. Because I'm making my juice for 3 days, I'm only really having to do two cleaning sessions. And that can make a huge difference to a
family.
Yes,
it can. Yes, it can. That's huge. That's very important. And you can use the compost if you want to grow things.
You can do that. Or even, you know, my tip, people, put the compost through again. Like, make sure you're extracting everything out. And also, you can add that if you're making kids' dinners, you can add that to the burgers, make veggie burgers out of it. You can do cookies. You can do all sorts of stuff with that fiber.
That's interesting. Well, Joe Cross, thank you so much, man. Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead. The new book is Reboot, right?
Now, the new book is called The Reboot with Joe Juice Diet.
Yep.
So that's out on Amazon, and the movie you can watch on Netflix or Hulu.
The movie's great, man.
iTunes.
Yeah, the movie's...
I've got the new movie coming out in September.
Oh, you do?
I'm excited about the new movie. Yeah, Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead 2.
Will you come back and share it with us?
Brian, love to come back, mate. It's been great. I've had a ball.
You're a good man. Keep doing what you're doing, man. Your example is changing lives, my friend.
Juice on, brother.
There it is. Juice on from Joe Cross. Later on. Joe Cross, ladies and gentlemen. Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead. Yeah, I think I'm a fan of juicing, actually. Not too much, but I think it makes a difference in how you feel. I really do. And plus, who has time to eat all your fruits and vegetables, man? You know, I actually can genuinely say I feel better when I juice. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of The Brian Callen Show. Sorry, Hunter Motz has been gone. He's in New York, and he's doing his thing with his own book, The Straight A Conspiracy, which is starting to be read by more and more people. If you have kids, or if you want to learn a little bit about the learning process, that is the book. Later!
You've been listening to The Brian Callen Show with Brian Callen. Be sure to like him on Facebook. Just search for Brian Callen Comedy. And follow him on Twitter. Just search for @BrianCallen. You can also find him online by visiting his website. Just go to briancallen.com. Until next time, bye-bye.